Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues at 1-800-677-9377. If there is something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question, call now. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And this is your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You hear the message of Christ that he died, was buried, was raised to life. You believe in your heart that God did indeed raise Jesus from the dead, and then you live it out. Live out that resurrection story. You have been baptized into Christ's death, into his burial, and you've been raised with him to walk in the newness of life. That is the gospel story, and that's how it impacts you in day-to-day life. And there's no better verse in the Bible than Galatians 2:20 to teach us that important truth. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's living in us. That is the good news of the gospel. It's not just a historical event that happened. It's not just facts that we believe. It's the reality of a living Christ making his presence known, making his dwelling inside of us, and he does so through the Spirit. Well, what does that mean to us? It simply means that the life that we now live, we live by faith in him. It's no longer about us trying to live up to rules and regulations. It's no longer about us trying to make ourselves right in God's sight. It's simply about us trusting, believing, relying, abiding upon Christ Jesus to live his life through us. This is a powerful verse, and we could talk about it every single day from now until the Lord comes back. It is so packed with dynamic truth, life-changing truth. We'll never come to the end of it. Why? Because we can never come to the end of Christ Jesus. He, as soon as we feel like we have a handle on who he is, he surprises us and shows us a little bit more about his love, about his grace, about his mercy. And then when we get a grip on that, we get even more at that point. And so this verse is one of those verses that is truly a life verse, an eternal verse for us as we grow in our relationship with Christ Jesus. And I mention that because we have a wonderful product that we would love for our listeners to get a hold of. It's a conference that we did earlier in the year, February, Conference 220. And it is all about this particular verse, Galatians 2:20. Andrew Farley, Pete Briscoe, Frank Viola joined with us to talk about this amazing verse. And the conference itself was life-changing for those that were there. And for those that have purchased this particular CD set, we've just heard incredible things from them. And we certainly want you to have it. It's been one of our best-selling resources this particular year. So take advantage of this 30% discount. Buy the Conference 220 CD series. You will not regret it, I guarantee it.
And that 30% discount is good through December 8th, so take advantage of it. About four more days in that, so don't let it pass you by. Go to store.basicgospel.net, and you'll find all of the products that are available at 30% off between now and December 8th.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to our good friend Gil, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
As always, friends forever, tougher than leather, better than the weather.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, how are you three guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. It's always nice to hear from you.
Great. And if there's something I'm sharing that you disagree or agree with me, you let me know, because I'm not perfect. But I just wanted to share some comments on Malachi 2:16. I think it says that I, the Lord, hate divorce and a man covering himself up with violence. And I feel like marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And one of the things that I feel strongly about is that we should not, for example, allow conflicts in our marriages to go unresolved. And we also need to practice forgiveness and not to go to bed angry. I remember hearing on Focus on the Family years ago, probably in the later 90s after I was saved, about a couple that made a commitment that they would not go to bed until they solved the problem. That would mean, like, if I was married, I'd probably be, you know, working with a computer or something like that until we talked and communicated. And, you know, and one of the things that's important is that we need to learn to communicate. You know, like the Bible says in Ephesians 4, I don't know what verse it is right now, I can't remember, but it says, speak the truth in love. It's like, you know, since we have a life of Christ, like you were mentioning Galatians 2:20, you know, we could live that life out, that reality of Christ, even within our marriages. Because I remind you and everybody else again that it was a couple from the health food store named Dennis and Charlene that gave me the Bibles in Braille at the health food store, and I was not interested in the Bible yet. It took me a long time to be interested, but I remember when he was standing beside his wife. I didn't even know she was in the store. I'm standing beside him, and he took my hand, and he said to me, Gil, and I said, yes, and I felt this woman next to him. He said, Gil, this is my best friend, and that's what truly attracted me to Christianity much, much more. Like Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even though I can't see with my eyes, God has opened my spiritual eyes to appreciate marriage and hope to someday be married too someday if it's God's will.
Yeah. Well, Gil, wonderful, wonderful insight into that verse. And I think the way you started out the conversation there is that marriage is truly a picture of of Christ and the church, the relationship Christ has with the church. And that's actually what the prophet Malachi was getting at. He makes this statement in chapter 2, verse 11, Judah has broken faith. So Judah and all of Israel, God wanted them for himself.
Yes.
There was this covenant relationship between the two of them, and yet they kept refusing to stick with God, and they went out after foreign gods. Basically, they were divorcing themselves from the one true God and going after everything that these other countries offered. And the prophet was basically admonishing them for that, and especially the priest, because it wasn't just the people doing it, it was the priests themselves. And God sent word through Malachi, and he did it in such a way that he says, hey, my relationship with you is like a marriage, and yet you are divorcing me. And I hate that because I have nothing but love for you. My love never ends. I'm faithful to my promises. Why would you want to walk away? And yet they did time and time again.
Yes, yes. And I think of Amos chapter 3, verse 3, I think says, can two walk together unless both have agreed to do so? And one of the things that I feel that is important, you know, I think that marriage is the most wonderful gift from the Lord. Like James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. And Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And even though people think they married the wrong person at the wrong time for the wrong reason, you know, they need to remember that they're still married and that it's and they're to remain true to their covenant, because marriage is such a beautiful gift. Like I said before, it's what really turned me on to Christianity, seeing this couple when I was not interested in the Bible yet, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story, Gil, and you never know how God can use a situation or can use you to speak truth into the life of another individual. And just the fact that they cared for one another and that together they reached out and showed care for you, that made a difference.
It did. And they've been high school sweethearts before they were saved. They've been married, and they got saved sometime later on. Dennis was first, and then Charlene was second. I think she told me she was baptized. I don't know if I remember this right in my head. In Israel, actually, later on.
Interesting. Well, that's a great story, Gil, and as always,
I hope I have that story right. I don't want to spread any rumors, but God will put up with me if I made a little error there, but I think she had mentioned that to me years ago.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Gil, thanks as always for chiming in today. We love hearing from you. And
I love to encourage people, you know, because the Bible says we're to encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approach. You know that verse, Hebrews 10:25, where
yes,
it says,
indeed,
let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the reason why I call your show sometimes is because Acts 20, verse 35 compels me and encourages me to be a blessing to people that are listening outside of New York or in New York. Yeah. I just want to tell the world how good Jesus is, and even in my own life, even though I can't see, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, before we all get to heaven.
Yeah, well, Gail, thanks for being a blessing to us all today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I send you guys a big electronic hug, as usual.
We receive it and send it right back to you, my friend.
Happy Sheep Day.
Okay. Thanks, Gil. Bye-bye.
1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Worcester, Mass. And talk to Sophia, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Sophia.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, likewise. I have a question. It was a discussion I had with a church sister of mine. Wanted to know, when we die, we know where our bodies go. What happens to a soul and a spirit? I wanted to know, when I looked up the definition, that they both go hand in hand, because your soul basically, you know, is the same thing as your spirit. And when we die, where does your soul go? Where does your spirit go?
Well, Sophia, even though they're distinct parts of humanity, we're divided up into three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. They're all interconnected. And so when God saves us, he saves all of us, spirit, soul, and body. And so the spirit is the deepest part of who we are. That's really where we get our identity when we come to Christ. That's the part that's born again. We're born again of the spirit. But then the spirit starts, God's spirit takes up residence in our human spirits, and he sends truth to our minds. And there's a renewing process that takes place in these souls of ours. And the soul would be basically our personalities, the way we express ourselves out there in the world. And we do that through our mind, through how we think, how we feel, the choices that we make. And so that is being saved through this renewing of the mind, through this growing in grace process. And then our bodies, we're going to get brand new bodies. They're going to be resurrected at a point in time. But when these bodies die, our spirits and souls are basically released, and they go to be with the Lord, absent from the body, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, and present with the Lord. So that's spirit and soul together in his presence.
And that's what I thought. I said it had to be your spirit and your soul that goes with Christ, that is the spiritual being. Also, another quick question is, someone said once saved, always saved. Now, my question is, if you're once saved, always saved, and you backslide out of Christ in a nightclub, you know, yes, I'm saved, so I'm just going to go party, commit adultery, commit fornication, you know, are you going to make it to heaven? If you say you're a born-again Christian, but still, because, I'm once saved, always saved, I'm going to make it into heaven if I die?
Well, Sophia, let me ask you this. How are we saved to begin with?
By accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
So was it our good works that saved us, or was it his good
works? His everything is because of Christ. Nothing that we have done is by his grace.
Well, so let me ask you this, Sophia. Do you think his work was sufficient enough to save us eternally?
Of course. Everything that Christ done was to save us. But, you know, it's basically we're just making the gospel of none effect and what Christ did for us on the cross, because if I believe in him, I serve him, how he wants us to live holy and righteous, his righteousness, his holiness. So if I go out and step out and backslide and I die, I'm not going to make it in. Am I going to make it into heaven? That means I shouldn't go to church then.
Sophia, this is where we get the gospel message all wrong. It's not about the fact that Jesus did something for us 2,000 years ago, therefore we need to do something for him today. That's not how it works. Jesus did something for us 2,000 years ago, but he was raised to life, and he's alive today. And he comes to live his life through us. So we come to him by faith, we change. Mm-hmm. It's an internal change. We go from death to life. And he sends his spirit to take up residence in us. And his spirit
is,
his spirit is never going to leave us. So if I choose on a Friday night to walk in a bar, who's going in there with me? Well, Jesus Christ is going to go in there with me. Why? Because he's living inside of me. He doesn't wait a minute, Bob, you're going into this bar and I can't defile myself, so I'm just going to wait for you out here and hopefully you're going to do okay in there. No, Jesus goes
definitely.
Just listen for a minute, Sophia. So Jesus goes into that bar, his spirit is living inside of me. And so when I get in there, I start seeing that bar in light of who he is and in light of who I am now in Christ. And I see it in a completely different light. And I start feeling like, wow, I don't belong. I don't belong in this place. Why? Because I'm somebody different. And so God's spirit can move you out of there.
Okay.
And that's how God works. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. And his work was sufficient to save you eternally. So if you're saved, you're completely saved. And you can have confidence that you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so if we will just trust him, because Sophia, all of us would, quote, backslide. We will stumble and fall and give in to temptation and sin. We all do that, don't we?
Oh, most definitely.
Christ is right there, and he assures us that we belong. He tells us about the work of Christ again on our behalf, that our sins have been forgiven. He dusts us off and say, hey, are you willing to trust me in this area of your life now? You keep falling flat on your face. You keep making a mess of things. You keep realizing that the world doesn't have anything to offer. Are you really willing to trust me in this area of your life? And if we will just understand the way God works with us, we'll see amazing things start taking place in our lives. And we won't have to worry because God is big enough to take care of us.
And of course, and I don't really want to hold you up and ask you too many questions because this did come up about once saved, always saved. But I figured if you backslide out of Christ.
Well, you can't backslide out of Christ. Once you're in Christ, you're in Christ. You're in his hands, John chapter 10, and then he places his hands in God's hands, and then he says, no one can snatch me, no one can snatch you out of God's hands.
Yeah.
So you can't backslide out of Christ.
Right.
If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. That's good news.
You're stuck with him.
Part of that, the whole point of Galatians 6 at the beginning there is, what do you do as a fellow Christian, as a brother or a sister in Christ, when you discover someone has just crashed and burned? Well, we don't judge them. We don't say, if you don't stop doing this, you're going to hell. We're supposed to come alongside of them and restore them, teach them what maybe something they were confused on, find out if they really were saved. Do they understand salvation, what the gospel is? There's a terrific encouraging role for the body of Christ in these situations, and it is not you're going to hell. It is come back to Jesus. Let's fix this.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Rose listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you very much. I listen to you guys a lot in my car. I love how you answer all the questions that, the brothers and sisters calling to ask you. My question is,
Rose, let me interrupt you just for a second. If you're on the speaker, if you could pick up the handset, that would really help us to understand what you're saying a lot better, if you could do that for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I can't really get it, but my phone got messed up.
Okay, that's good.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I want to know, I backslid like 3 times, and after the 3 times, I repented, and I went back to the Lord in a year, and now I repented and started trying to walk again with Christ. But I want to ask you, can someone, while they were out there, don't have the covenant of Christ over them while they were in the sin, before they him that can that person open up the door and the enemy come in and, you know, oppressing that person, you know, just oppression at night and day, you know, even when you repented and gone back in the word and the relationship with Christ, you still have this heavenly oppression. But not feeling, you know, bad over your sin anymore because you know Christ forgive you. So you make that clear comfort. There's something like you are being oppressed by the enemy.
Yeah. Well, Rose, let's see if we can jump in and help you a little bit on that. As far as spiritual oppression is concerned, I think that happens to believers. And I don't think spiritual oppression is necessarily tied to, you know, the things that we're doing or not doing. Sometimes it just occurs, and we feel it in our senses. We get you know, confusion in our minds, and we just feel anxious, and we just feel like something's pressing down on us. That's called spiritual oppression. Well, what's the solution to that? That's truth. Truth is what sets us free. And a believer can certainly experience spiritual oppression. I've felt that. I've sensed that. And I know what that is. And the solution is just clinging to truth, recognizing that God is stronger, that we do have an enemy, but Jesus Christ has already conquered, that Jesus Christ is already victorious. And as we submit ourselves to God, as we offer up ourselves to Him through prayer and supplication, we will start to experience peace, and this peace becomes a guard of our hearts and minds. And that's what we need. That's the protection we need from those spiritual forces of darkness, those forces that can oppress us along the way. But oppression is different from demonic possession. A believer cannot be possessed by a demon. That is an impossibility. Once Christ comes to live inside of a person through His Spirit, there is no way that Christ is going to share that house with any other spirit. So He's claimed it for Himself. He has come in. He has taken up residence inside of us, and we now fully belong to Him. But in our minds, in our emotions, in our wills, we can experience spiritual oppression that comes to us through error, through deception, through those sort of things. And it's not a pleasant experience. It's not a pleasant experience at all. But God is faithful. If you keep your eyes focused on Him, He will lead you out of that. I guarantee it. Well, Rose, thank you for your wonderful call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a book I did called Love Is. Love certainly is the answer. If we know that God loves us through thick and thin, that can give us a deep resolve to resist those things that are out there in the world. So let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is, Rose. Thank you for your call.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one, and for those of you who tuned in to listen and be edified by what you heard, we hope you have been. Now through December 8th, you'll save 30% on all basic gospel products, including Love Is and our Conference 220 CD series. That's right, all products in our store marked down 30% through December 8th. To view them all, visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of our products just in time for Christmas giving. 30% off between now and December 8th. Visit store.basicgospel.net and see how you can bless someone this Christmas. Enter coupon code THANKS when you check out. And when you're finished shopping, before you check out, as a matter of fact, please help us keep the Basic Gospel message on the air every day by making a generous Christmas time holiday gift. You'll find a prominent link right there on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Remember, this is a listener-supported broadcast, and we truly need your help at this particular time. So visit the website, basicgospel.net. Take advantage of the 30% discount between now and December 8th and make a generous contribution to keep the good news coming. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.